If you can't allow that because of your beliefs, well, that's fine. Just sit quietly and let the bread and the cup pass by you. But you're most welcome if you love the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. You're most welcome to have this time of fellowship with us around this table, which we call the Lord's table. I want to apologize to the Effinghams. Last week, I was going to stand up and say, Billy has gone to college. And today, I forgot. And last week, I forgot. So, Billy has gone to college. He's gone to Fox College, and he's going to be a giant among men, used of God. And if you pray for him, you will be amazed what God will do with him. They would like something to happen to him that's nice. But we need to pray for these young fellas and girls that go to college. And we need to lift them up. So pray for Billy or William. Same thing, I'm told. And he's a great fellow. A leader that is, he just is a leader. Am I right, teacher?
Absolutely.
He's just a fellow that can lead and others want to follow. So we're going to see something happen with this kid as years go on. He won't want to be called a kid too long. But just pray for him. There's an amazing thing that is said in the scriptures, and it was Philip discovered this same scripture when he ran up to the chariot, and he said to the eunuch who was sitting in the chariot, he said, do you understand what you're reading? For those of you that weren't here to hear that part of Acts of the Apostles, it was the common method of reading the Word of God to read aloud. And Philip had been told by the Holy Spirit, go and join yourself to that chariot. And he ran up to the chariot and he heard the eunuch in the chariot reading from Isaiah 53. And in there it said that there was no justice. He was talking of Jesus, he was humiliated, and in that humiliation there was no justice. And I would like to, I've said some of this, so I'll be very quick, but I would like to amplify that and say to you and to me, let the Holy Spirit speak to us now, that when you've spilled the beans, dropped the bottle of milk, and it's all over the floor, when things are going amiss, and somehow there doesn't seem to be anything but criticism, this doesn't seem rhyme nor reason, and you're humiliated. Does anybody not understand that? Do you understand what I'm saying? Humiliation. You're humiliated. When that happens, there's no justice. And it happened to Jesus. But it happens to us also. Because people make up stories. And people don't go to the truth. They don't know how to, and so they don't bother. So what they do, they make up their own story. And I believe all of us have been guilty of that at some time or another, and it's a thing that we should be very careful not to get involved in. How awkward it is when it happens. Jesus did not say, pull down this temple and make a heap of rubble out of it, and in 3 days I'll throw the stones, the back into place, because some of those stones that they were talking about, I've touched them and seen them. Some of those stones weighed more than 4 tons. Jesus didn't say that. What Jesus said was, destroy this temple, this body, speaking of himself and his own body. He said, destroy this, and 3 days later it will come back from the dead. But they preferred to lie. You've been caught in that one at some time in your experience? You didn't really say what is being repeated, though you did say something similar. And people have made a mountain out of a molehill, and you're now the dirty person, and there is no justice, because they don't talk to you. They don't come to you and say, what really was said? What really happened? They don't do that at all. They totally ignore you. And they tell you what you've done. They tell you what you've said. They tell you what you thought. And so Jesus was taken, lied over, and his humiliation was enormous. When Stephen was stoned in Acts of the Apostles, and I've said this as we've gone through Acts, and I'll just recount this. When he was kneeling down, out after they'd thrown him over the wall into this area where they killed people, after that had happened, he was kneeling down and the people were gathering stones, and the fellows were taking their jackets and giving them to a young man whose name was Saul, and he came from Tarsus, and Saul was looking after their coats. And Saul gave the nod, okay, now you can throw the rocks at him. When we say stoned, we mean the word stone. Stone's about yay big that you can easily toss. But stoning meant as much as you could pick up in one chunk. That's what you threw at the man or woman that you were stoning. So it's easy to smash a leg, an arm, a neck, a rib, a head. And Stephen, kneeling there, looked up into heaven. He saw Jesus standing by the side of God. And he said so. He said, I see Jesus. And as he did so, his face was shining. And they couldn't bear the shining face. And Paul gave the nod. They started throwing the rocks. And he was killed. When the Lord Jesus was to be crucified, the one thing they could not stand of Jesus was that he looked at them. He looked at them squarely in the eye. He wasn't defending himself. He simply was looking and saying with that look, you're wrong. You're lying. You're cheating. I know it. You know it. And so they plucked his beard so his face swelled. They hit him with their hand, their fist. They slammed their fists into his face so it swelled. His lips would have burst open. His nose would have bled. His eyes were most likely cut. Or his eyebrows. And then they spat into his face. But first, they put a blindfold round his eyes so they couldn't look in his eye. If I dare apply that to your experience in life, when people have humiliated you, for whatever reason, it's not my place to point out the reason. You know it. But if that has happened to you, do you notice that those people do not look you in the eye? Something's wrong, isn't there? So in your humiliation, there's no justice. Yet we who love the Lord Jesus are the most loving people, kind people. We're the most concerned people, merciful people. We are the people of God. We are the people who have the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. We are the people that have all the faculties of greatness, and we abuse it. Why? I'll tell you why. Because we prefer Christian ethics to allowing Jesus Christ to live in us. We prefer to live a Christian, inverted commas, life, than a life of exceptional extreme. We prefer not to have a great adventure with Jesus. We prefer not to be on the top of power. We prefer, for some reason that I can't work out, we prefer second grade to best grade. And we take on ourselves a second way of living Christ. And it becomes, I do this because, isn't that right? Doesn't it say so in the Bible? Attitude. But the real thing is, Christ in me, my hope of glory. Now you'll suffer humiliation. And other Christians will not understand you. The Apostle Paul came to know the Lord Jesus. We saw this last week briefly. And of all people, he had been the most active in suppressing the church, as we call it today. It was called the Way in his day. And he had caused men and women to be taken, put in prison. He took them in the night, he took them in the day. He took them and threw them in prison. And then they were transported from those prisons to Ephesus, where they had a great arena, and they put wild animals into the arena, and they forced the Christians into the arena. The wild animals tore them to shreds and ate them. And that was for the amusement of the people of Ephesus. Similar things happened in Rome. Only in Rome they were a little more dignified. They taught the men especially to use a sword and a spear and a net. And then they were against gladiators. And they fought in the arena. And they have fought until they were exhausted. They fought until they died. And that was great sport. And if a person was so exhausted and wounded, the crowd would shout and scream. And if he hadn't put up a good fight, they would turn their thumbs down, which meant kill him. And they turn their thumbs up, let him live. And that was the great sport. The Apostle Paul was responsible for stoning Stephen. The Apostle Paul was responsible for all this to happen. And now Jesus meets him in the road and says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who art thou, Lord? He cries. And when he gets off the ground that he's laying on, he has no sight. He's blind. The blindness causes him to ask somebody to lead him, and they lead him into Damascus. He's there 3 days. Ananias goes there because the Holy Spirit sends Ananias there. And Ananias complained. He said, Lord, do you know what you're doing? This man has killed so many Christians. You want me to go there? I thought I had some standing with you. Is the implication, do I really have to go? And God said, you do as you're told, it's fine. He must find out what he must suffer for my sake. And so he went to Saul. He said, Brother Saul, you receive your sight. God sent me, receive your sight, and he did. And immediately he started to say, the Jesus Christ that I said didn't live is alive. He is resurrected. He's alive now. And people didn't believe him. They thought this is some crafty way to get us to trust him so he can throw us in the arenas. By the time, a few months later, he got to Jerusalem, he started to preach there, and the Christians all moved away from him. Now, this is where I'm coming to. Barnabas, which means a son of consolation, a man of great comfort, took him by the hand, and he went into the church group in Jerusalem, and he said, look, I've heard this chap preach in Damascus. I've heard of his conversion, and God is in it. The Holy Spirit is upon him. He's God's man. Receive him. Receive him. In his humiliation, there was no judgment. But Barnabas stood beside him, and Barnabas said, there may not be any decent judgment for this man, but I recommend him to you. And in a sense, he stood surety for the Apostle Paul, as he became known later. And Paul left Jerusalem, went to Tarsus, they smuggled him out of Jerusalem because the Jewish people wanted to kill him, just as the Jewish people in Damascus had wanted to kill him. And he went out, and he got away and went to Tarsus. And we think he was there for about 10 years before Barnabas again comes to him and says, hey, you've got to come out of this hiding place. You've got to come back, start preaching, and start teaching. So with every humiliation, there is this wonderful thing of justice. None and then plenty. Got an itchy throat, don't know why. And you have that justice because Jesus has given it to you. And Jesus says, come to me. You're humiliated over something? You come to me. And as we take this bread and we take this cup of the Lord, and we remember his death until he comes, just be very quietly thanking God that in his humiliation he took yours away from you. When you had no justice, he understood all of your heart. And there's no need for you now to be alienated either from the people of God, certainly not from the Lord Jesus. And you need to come and quietly put your faith back where you know it should be, in him who loved you and died for you and rose again. Let's bow in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that as we take this cup and we take this bread, we may truly remember some of these humiliations that you went through, that we go through, and how you were left without any justice, and we have felt the injustice of people and the awkwardness that we now feel at different times, and we ask you to not abandon us but fill us with your Spirit so that your justice may be ours. Lord, we thank you that you do not look upon the outward appearances as do people, but you look on the deep things of the heart of man. And we ask you to look deeply upon our hearts this morning and change us, Lord, that we may change into the beautiful person you want us to be. As we take this bread, let us remember the tearing of his flesh. Let us remember all that it meant to you, the Holy One, to take away our sin. Bless now this bread to us and the fellowship we now share. In Jesus' name, amen. Men, would you join me, please, and help me? Thank you. The Lord Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. If you're hungry, come to me and live, eat." He also said to the Apostle Paul, he said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat ye all of it in remembrance of me." Most gracious and blessed Lord, we thank you for this little time of remembering. We remember that you died for us. We remember that the blood was pouring out of your body. We know that life is in the blood, and you were losing your life as every drop fell to the ground, as every stream of blood fell from your body. And as your body was drained of its blood, we were washed and cleansed and given new hope, a victorious life. We became sinners, and yet we were winners because you made us winners by shedding your blood to take away our sin and to remember our sin no more. So we take now this moment to say to you, Lord Jesus, do thou bless this cup that we now take and cause us to remember you are the living God. And we pray this in Jesus' holy, precious name. Amen. We read that Jesus, when he had supped, took bread and gave thanks and said, "This is my body broken for you." And then he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." As the men collect your glasses, I'd like you to be remembering the Lord Jesus. In order to do that, I would like to read you this. This is from the Authorized Version. And Jesus spoke through the Apostle Paul, and Paul wrote it down. He said, "I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. For if ye would judge yourselves, we would not be judged." Let's think about that a little for the moments we have now. We're going to sing a hymn that is very, very beautiful and not often used, but you all know it. And I'm going to ask you to sing it very quietly to the Lord. It's the hymn number one. Number one, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. God of glory, Lord of love, hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Let's stand and sing number one.